Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to our half-hour English feature program. I'm Susie Hodges. Coming up on today's program, we have a full report from our correspondent on Pope Benedict's second day in Cuba, which included a visit to the much-revered shrine of Our Lady of Charity del Cobre and a private meeting in Havana with the Cuban president, Raúl Castro. Father Lombardi's feedback. The Vatican spokesperson, Father Federico Lombardi, shares with us his impressions of the papal visit to Cuba, saying the Church is now a very active presence on the island. Caritas in Cuba. An official from Caritas Internationalis who recently visited Cuba tells us how he was struck by the level of poverty on the island, and we learn what Caritas is doing to try to alleviate the plight of the poor and needy. And papal visit, a Cuban viewpoint. How do Cubans view this visit by Pope Benedict to their homeland, and what are they expecting it to achieve? We speak to a Cuban-born priest based in Miami to find out more. Pope Benedict's three-day pastoral visit to Cuba is drawing to a close. His last scheduled engagement on the island on Wednesday, before heading to the airport to catch his flight back to Rome, was the celebration of an open-air mass in Havana's Revolution Square. The Pope flew to the Cuban capital on Tuesday morning and in the afternoon paid a courtesy call on the nation's head of state, President Raúl Castro. Our correspondent travelling with the Pope is Philippa Hitchin, and she filed this report on that meeting.
The first thing that strikes you about Revolution Square is the sheer size of it all, designed to make you feel rather small and in awe of your grandiose surroundings. Situated at one of the highest points of the city of Havana, this giant plaza hosts an immense concrete tower, one of the tallest flagpoles I've ever seen, and a huge Soviet-style palace, home to the president's office and the Communist Party Central Committee. It was inside this building that Pope Benedict met for over 40 minutes with President Raúl Castro on Tuesday, a private encounter the papal spokesman Father Federico Lombardi described as a very cordial and constructive meeting. Though we don't know the details of their conversation, Father Lombardi said the Pope reiterated concerns he has spoken about in public regarding the freedom of the Church to contribute more fully to the life and well-being of all people here. One specific request the Pope did make to the Cuban leader was to consider granting Good Friday as a national holiday in the island nation. Veteran Vatican watchers will recall that Pope John Paul II made a similar request to former President Fidel Castro 14 years ago to make Christmas Day a national holiday, something that was granted that very same year. The decision marked a significant step forward for the Church in a country that was officially an atheist state for over three decades until the Constitution was modified in 1992. Another event seen as a significant fruit of that first papal visit. Asked about Pope Benedict's hopes for political changes in Cuba, Father Lombardi stressed this is first and foremost a pastoral pilgrimage, marking the 400th anniversary of Cuba's most important Marian shrine, Our Lady of Charity of El Cobre. But he said the visit also aims to provide an impulse for practical improvements, working towards much greater freedom for the Church to carry out her mission. In Havana, with Pope Benedict, I'm Philippa Hitchin.
Before flying to Havana, Pope Benedict was based in the southeastern city of Santiago de Cuba, and he began Tuesday by paying a visit to the nearby shrine of Our Lady of Charity of Cobre, Cuba's much-revered patron saint. Philippa Hitchin was there as well and filed this report.
Well before dawn, a small crowd of Cuban Catholics gathered outside the shrine dedicated to La Mambisa, as local people call the miraculous statue of Our Lady of Charity. Queuing patiently for the endless police checks that precede your every move here, they had plenty of time to reflect on the many miracles attributed to the small wooden statue, a powerful symbol of liberation over the past four centuries, for independence from the Spanish colonizers, and for the slaves brought in to work the copper mines on which this port city was founded in the early 16th century.
Virgen de la Caridad del Cobre, Madre de Dios y Madre Nuestra.
In his brief greeting after kneeling in prayer and lighting a candle in front of the statue, Pope Benedict had special words for Cubans descended from those African slaves who make up over 30% of the population, but who are often among the poorest inhabitants of the island.
Hagan saber a cuantos encuentran cerca los lejos que ha confiado a la Madre de Dios el futuro de su patria.
The Pope said he also prayed for the needs of all who suffer here, of those deprived of their freedom, those separated from their loved ones, and those in other difficult situations.
Que Dios los bendiga. Muchas gracias.
People clapped politely as he waved goodbye at the end of his last stop here in Santiago. A steel band played and people pressed their faces against the gates of the shrine to watch his car disappear down the road between dilapidated low brick houses with corrugated iron roofs. The rector of the shrine, Father Jorge Palma, said he hoped the brief visit would bring many blessings to the church here, just as the visit of John Paul II did some 14 years ago. Maybe not any overnight miracles, but at least the knowledge that people are not forgotten as they continue the struggle for freedom, justice, and decent living standards for all. In Santiago de Cuba with Pope Benedict, I'm Philippa Hitchin.
The Vatican spokesperson, Father Federico Lombardi, says the Catholic Church in Cuba is now a very active presence. Father Lombardi's observation came during a wide-ranging interview with Philippa Hitchin, when he shared with her his impressions of the papal visit to Cuba.
Father Lombardi, the Pope's reception here in Cuba was perhaps beyond your expectations.
Absolutely, because along the way from the airport until the town, there was a crowd both sides of the way, and many people. Practically everywhere there were people, and in large numbers. I think that the town was there, because during the way after the arrival to go to the hotel, no one was on the street. That means that everyone was or on the street to greet the Pope, or already in the square for the Mass. I think that really at least half of the population was expecting the Pope and greeting him. This was not expected, at least by me. After the Mexico, we had this big impression of many people on the street. Maybe that the Mexicans were more enthusiastic or more expressive of the joy and so on. But it was very warm, also the reception here in Cuba. And the presence on the square for the Mass was impressive. Someone said to me that there was more people as in the Mass with John Paul II 14 years ago on the big square of the town.
Pope Benedict spoke about that visit 14 years ago when he arrived at Santiago Airport, and he talked about the new spirit of cooperation and trust that it helped to introduce here in Cuba. And yet the situation remains quite difficult for the church, doesn't it?
Yes, my impression hearing the speech at the airport was it is really true that the famous words of John Paul II, we desire that the world opens itself to Cuba and Cuba to the world, are still very actual, because something has happened, but not very, very, very much. in both senses. And it is important to continue to encourage this openness from both sides. The church maybe is the reality that has done more steps from there onwards, because there was really a new spirit of engagement, of hope, and the church has found ways to exert charity, to be present in the spiritual animation of the population. In the sense that the church now in Cuba is a very active presence, and there are perspectives and reasons why the church is seen also from the government as an interlocutor in the situation of Cuba, and interprets the needs and the expectations of the people at large.
There is also a significant delegation of US American church leaders here in Cuba, again supporting the needs of the people here. How much do you think, or do you hope, that this visit can also help to ease the difficult relationship between Washington and Havana?
Oh, we all hope this, because this would be a new chance and possibility for the development of Cuba, and in the sense that the Pope wishes, and John Paul II wished at the time. Also, the substitute in his interview said that there were steps also in possibility to visit the relatives in Cuba, or to send money and so on, but are still little steps. And in this sense, I think that the church can do very much in easing the friendship, the relation. There is an important group of pilgrims from Miami, 350. I met a priest that is with them, very, very happy, and think that there is an attitude from many migrants, many Cuban migrants, that is very, very positive and constructive, and they are happy to be here and to help the relations. This is a perspective that we all hope that will continue.
The Pope also spoke about figures from the past who have helped to strengthen and build up the church here in Cuba, including Father Felix Varela, a well-known human rights defender. Can we expect some developments in regard to this very famous figure here in Cuba?
Oh, yes. We know that there is a beatification cause for Felix Varela, that is a father of Cuba. For all Cubans, love him very much as a very prominent figure in the culture and the spirit of the homeland. And we know that the Congregation for the Saints has done his work to give to the Pope the possibility to declare the heroicity of these virtues. I don't know if the Pope will sign this decree in these days or afterwards, but in any case, the cause is going on, and I think that for the Cuban will be a very important moment. But there are already other figures. This blessed was a really important man in the charity and in the health care of the poor people. Is already blessed, and the beatification was done 4 years ago, I think. This is an important encouragement also for the church in Cuba.
The figure of Our Lady of Charity, of El Cobre, here, a figure which is so central to the life of the church in Cuba. What can you tell us about the visit to the shrine, the Pope's desire, personal desire to visit this shrine?
No, this is a central moment of this trip, because the very reason of this trip is the 4th century anniversary of this devotion of the Cubans, that is very central in their religiosity, in their faith as Catholic members of the Church, but not only the Catholic, also all people now in Cuba see this Our Lady of the Charity as a model. And in the pilgrimage that the statue of Our Lady has done in the past months was an impressive success with participation of all the entire population. And in this sense, the Pope decided to come as a pilgrim, because now we have in this year the jubilee year of this sanctuary, of this devotion, and many Cubans will come to pilgrimage to the sanctuary, and the Pope decided to do the same, to give the good example of being a pilgrim. In many trips of the Pope, we have had important visits of the Pope to sanctuaries of Our Lady, so Altötting, Enzom, Aparecida, many others. In this trip, the visit to the sanctuary of Our Lady of Charity here in Cuba is a central point, because the spiritual aspect is very important in the trip of the Pope. You have not to think only to the social or political consequences of the trip. For the Pope, the meeting with the people in the religious event, the celebration of the Eucharist, the participation to the devotion to Our Lady, they are really the central moment for the people. And large masses are there because the simple people love this and understand the importance of these moments as the encouragement of their faith. And this is really the contribution that the Church can do, that is to strengthen the faith and the engagement of the simple people that every day participate in the life of the Church and the society. And then in this sense, these moments that have to do with the spiritual inspiration of the concrete life of every day are central in the trip of the Pope.
That was the director of the Press Office of the Holy See, Father Federico Lombardi, speaking to my colleague Philippa Hitchin. Relations between the Catholic Church and Cuba's communist government was the main issue discussed by much of the international media in the run-up to and during Pope Benedict's visit to Cuba. But far less is said about Cuba's very difficult economic situation. A senior official of Caritas Internationalis, Ryan Worms, visited the island shortly before the Pope's arrival there and said he was struck by the high levels of poverty in Cuba. He spoke to Philippa Hitchin about his impressions.
Yes, it was my first trip in Cuba, and the work of Caritas Cuba is not well known because of problems with communications from the island to the outside world. And I was struck by the level of poverty in Cuba and the situation people are facing, and the way also the National Caritas Cuba is responding to them with great professionalism in their response, in their program, and the strength of the network, of the Caritas network and the church network in the island. A few examples maybe of programs run by Caritas there. One of them is to distribute food to the older people. We're talking about 17-18% of the population that is over 60 years old and living in great poverty conditions. So Caritas is running more than 190 centers where those old people could come and get food, give their clothes to be washed, also have a workshop with them, physical, spiritual activities. So it's a huge work. We're talking about 28,000 beneficiaries on that program. I've been to houses of old people and see the condition they're living. There are houses completely destroyed with nothing in it. They're owning the pension in Cuba is around 6 to 7 euro a month. So how can you live with 6 or 7 euro a month in Cuba? It's quite impossible.
So how do these people manage to get by?
A lot are counting on the help of family that are abroad, or otherwise it's the solidarity they can find with Caritas Network.
This is the, you're talking about the older people in particular. Yes. There's also a high percentage of young people, yes, there in Cuba. What is the situation like for young people today?
We also run program for the young people in some remote areas where there is no activities for them. We have organized meeting with those young people, workshop of painting, theater, music, so they can have a place, a safe place to go after school and finding also professional care and not staying alone in the street, in their house, where they can live sometimes some very difficult social problems with the family, with alcohol, with violence. So it's also one of the program of Caritas Cuba to help them having those kind of places where they can have activities and also counseling with the family.
How does the embargo, the American embargo, affect the work of Caritas there?
I don't know if it affects directly the work of Caritas, because Caritas is receiving supplies, medical supplies, for example, from the U.S. That can be distributed then to the different hospitals in the island. So I wouldn't say it affects directly the work of Caritas, but of course all the supplies that are received by Caritas in the island needs to be distributed with an agreement of the government. Nothing is done in the island without the involvement of the authorities. But I wouldn't say it really has an influence on the work of Caritas. Of course, without an embargo, maybe it will be easier to get supplies from foreign countries.
How is the relationship between Caritas and the government today, then? How would you describe it? Do you encounter any difficulties?
I think today the situation is good. What they told me is that first there is a relationship between the two. It's not always easy, because you always have to negotiate with the authorities, with the government, to be allowed to do programs in the island with the population. But I think there is a mutual understanding of the beneficiaries the population can gain with the work of Caritas. And the Caritas philosophy is to get more spaces through the example of their work, of the quality of their work. And the programs would be with the older people, with youth, young children, also with people with disabilities, mental health problems. There's a strong program with it, are very well recognized by the population and also by the authorities.
Cuba was, of course, one of the most hardline communist governments, and yet there has been significant change, hasn't there, even over recent years. What have you seen of that, and how is it affecting the people there?
I think people are waiting maybe for more changes, more possibility to have new ways to own their life, to improve their living conditions. At the political level, what I sense is that it's very hard for Cuban population to really imagine another system. They've been living in that system for the last 60 years or so. So changing or thinking of transition from the night to the morning, it's very hard. But yes, finding new ways, new economical ways to improve their life and their life condition, I think is the main preoccupation for Cuban people.
Despite almost half a century of communist rule there, the church remains, doesn't it, a significant force, if you like, a moral authority on the island nation, particularly through popular devotion to the shrine of Our Lady of Charity that Pope Benedict is visiting on this trip.
Yes, you can sense that this is a special event also, as a celebration of the Virgin, and the coming of the Pope really brings a lot of joy in the Catholic community.
Can you tell us about this important, as you said, it's the 400th anniversary,
yes,
of the rediscovery of this very, very important,
yes,
shrine?
Well, they've told me they've organized at the end of last year a tour with the Virgin in all the island. And it was always a great source of joy for people and admiration, and even were able to bring it to some jailhouse within the island. So there's a great devotion to Mother Mary. And having also the visit of the Pope in the island is a great source of joy, because it's an occasion for the Catholic community to join together, to pray together, and to express their faith and their love together, which is not always the case in the island. So it will be, I'm quite sure, a great and exciting time.
We've seen the bishops also being able to give a live TV address to the nation about the visit of the Pope. Do you think that in some way Benedict's visit may also help to lead to further changes as regards government policy towards religious and the church itself?
Hopefully, yes. Yes, yes, it's a possibility. It's, as you say, it was one of the first times that the bishops could go live on the national TV. I think the Mass will be also live. So that's open it that we can hope will follow after the Pope visit.
That was Ryan Worms, Communications Officer for Caritas Internationalis, speaking to Philippa Hitchin. Do Cubans themselves, including those living in exile in the US, view this visit by Pope Benedict to their homeland? And what are they expecting it to achieve? To find out more, I spoke just before the papal trip to Father Ernesto Travieso, a Cuban-born Jesuit priest based in Miami.
Certainly the people are very excited. When John Paul II visited, a lot of things changed. It was a boost. I went to Cuba after that visit in 2003, and people were still really enjoying this certain freedom. So some changes came. In fact, I just read something for Lech Walesa saying, you know, when he visited Poland, John Paul II, that's where all things started to change, with Solidarność. And again, we hope something is going to happen. So again, it would be good.
The Catholic Church has acted as a mediator between the government and dissident groups, and has helped to secure the release of 75 political prisoners in recent years. Do you see this role continuing on the part of the Catholic Church in Cuba, maybe even strengthening?
I hope so. We all hope so, you know, that it will strengthen their relations. And they have to be relations. We know that. There has to be diplomacy in between the church and the government. But again, we hope that something is going to happen, some changes are going to happen. And we hope it's good for the people. In fact, one thing I noticed in 2003, how the local people, the Christians, the Catholics, were so full of energy again. They were very strong after that visit of John Paul II. So we hope that with Benedict XVI is going to be the same, that people are going to be encouraged to believe.
Let's talk a little bit about the economic situation in Cuba. I mean, is there a lot of poverty and hardship among the population? Because they went through quite a rocky time after the collapse of the Soviet Union.
But if they're improving, they have been improving because of these remesas, the money their relatives in exile send them to Cuba. I've read the other day it's about $800 million a year.
I was speaking to Father Ernesto Travieso, a Cuban-born Jesuit priest based in Miami. Well, that's all for today from me, Susie Hodges, here at Vatican Radio's English programme. But we'll be on the air again at the same time tomorrow. And you can always find our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. Laudato Jesus Christus.